Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Great conversation today ahead of us about a very long-standing organization, Laborers for Christ, part of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Going to learn about, we're going to learn from some actual laborers themselves, hear their stories of their involvement with Laborers for Christ, learn a little bit about the history and the opportunities available as well. Some really, some great things that can happen when you're involved with Laborers for Christ. Hope you stick around for the conversation. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. They are listed in our sponsor section on our website, kfuo.org. You can find information there. Just look for the CUW logo. Joining me in studio today, Marcy Scholl. She's a Laborers for Christ specialist at Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Marcy, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Andy, thank you so much for this opportunity.
I always love having you in studio. You bring so much energy and smiles and hugs to the studio. I know that you're just a bundle of energy over across the street over at Lutheran Church Extension Fund.
I try to be.
Glad to have you in studio today, and can't wait to share some of the guests that you've invited to join us today to tell their stories about Laborers for Christ as well. Tell us a little bit about Lutheran Church Extension Fund and where Laborers for Christ fits into the work of LCEF.
Absolutely. We are proud to have roots as far back as 1902 with several forward-thinking LCMS congregations who pooled together funds to establish a new church in a neighboring community. And as the district network developed, many districts had a fund through investments and gifts from which they could provide loans and extend our church body. More than 35 years ago, districts began consolidating and these operations to create a strong national network, providing resources across the entire LCMS. And this is what is known today as the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, or LCEF. We have expanded over the decades to be a more holistic partner for individual church members, ministries, congregations, as well as church workers. In addition, we have ministry support, such as Laborers for Christ, who assist LCMS congregations and organizations with the process of constructing their facilities while giving an opportunity for spiritual renewal and outreach to the community. But a part of also included in ministry support is Vision Path experience, which will help you discover your ministry's unique place in God's mission. It provides clarity in ministry passion, alignment in ministry purpose, and action in ministry processes, along with capital funding services, which make the love of Christ known within the congregation and community.
So Laborers for Christ has been a part of this, the work that LCEF does in terms of helping congregations with, especially with some of those physical needs. Perhaps they're expanding, building on, adding on to their physical facility. And in the process of helping with that, also getting to know the members of the congregation, the community as well, which is certainly a benefit to the congregation.
Absolutely. The laborers come on site and they become involved and participate in every aspect of ministry in the congregation. And what a witness that really is. They leave a lasting impact on a congregation. I hear all the time of they do devotions every morning, and that a lot of congregations have maintained that discipline years and years after the laborers have left. They leave a lasting impact.
That really does make a difference for a congregation. Not only do they get help in this building project that they're doing, but also get to meet fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and share in their stories and share in this life together.
They do construction or improving of a facility, but Laborers for Christ is the ministry that they are about. Mm-hmm. They're dedicated men and women who have willing hands to serve the Lord with a heart of passion for ministry.
Well, let's meet some of these laborers. Joining us by phone today, Daniel and Carolyn Werner. Carolyn, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Daniel, welcome to Faith and Family. Thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Tell us a little bit about yourselves, members of St. John in Geneseo, Illinois. Tell us a little bit about your involvement at St. John and how you got involved with Laborers for Christ.
At our church, we had a fire, and we had the Laborers for Christ coming to help rebuild our church after the fire. And Jim Everhart was the project manager, and we just enjoyed working with the laborers. We were there just about every day helping out, and that's how we got to know about Laborers for Christ.
So what were the, Daniel, what were the laborers doing each day that that you noticed?
Andy, what we noticed was that the laborers came not only to construct a building for us, but they came to help us spread the gospel throughout not only our congregation, but throughout the community. And that left a lasting impression on both my wife and myself.
Carolyn, tell me about the laborers you got to know in that project.
I got to know quite the ladies especially. You know, we did things with the ladies group. I actually got to help with the construction, so I worked with the men also when they were doing the construction, and just got to know them very much, and they are still friends with me, and I still communicate with them yet on bases like Christmas and just sometimes often throughout the week. So they became quite, you know, not just a worker that came and helped build our church. They became friends of ours.
What was it, what was the deciding point for you that helped you decide, this is something I think we could do. This is something that we could do. We could be laborers for Christ. Carolyn, do you want to address that? And we'll give Daniel a chance to answer as well.
It gave me a chance to work with other Christians. And I got to grow more in my faith in Christ, along with using some of my talents that I had that I probably didn't even know I had. And just, it's just blessed me. God's blessed me with so many different things, and just getting to know and getting the opportunity to do these different things on each of the projects. And I keep continuing to grow as we go to other projects.
Dan, what was it for you that was really the point where you said, man, this is something we could do. I think we could be laborers.
We, about halfway through the project, my wife and I both looked at each other and said, this is something that we could do. And what turned us to that, we saw how the laborers interacted not only with themselves, but with the congregation, and how devout Christians actually worked together and came in and made a big impact on the congregation. We saw a lot of members that it changed their life. We had one individual that he was going through a difficult period in his life. They were in the process of a divorce, and he pulled away from the church. Laborers made an impact on his life. He started to come to volunteer, and it turned his life around and brought him back into the congregation. And I think that had a big thing to do with us making that decision. We wanted to be a part of that mission. We wanted to go out and to help spread the gospel to other communities and other congregations.
Marcy, what is it about Laborers for Christ as you're working side by side, whether it's hammering or tearing down to the demolition day? What is it about this, the perhaps physical labor, but also working side by side, that seems to also help build relationships and open doors for conversation to encourage someone like Dan was talking about here?
They're just an amazing group of men and women. They have been a personal inspiration to me because of their commitment, their faith walk, the journey that they take. They have a natural way of witnessing to people that's very winsome and drawing to people. They're very caring and very selfless. I think they're the most selfless people I have ever met in my life. They're willing to travel thousands of miles to come. Their work ethic, the quality, they care about what they do with their hammer and hands. But most importantly, it's their love for the Lord that just really is caring for other people and really reaching out and wanting to, as Dan said, do mission. I mean, this is really what it's about. It's labors for Christ, touching people with the love of Christ.
Dan, how was you were describing the gentleman that that you were able to work with and how that made a difference in his life, going through a tough time in life and then being reconnected to the congregation to receive the gifts of God regularly, you know, to hear the word regularly there in the church. How is it that through your involvement with Laborers for Christ, you were given opportunities to witness and to just to encourage him?
It was an easy process. Once we got the individual to open up to us a little bit and to show him encouragement and to show him that we were, that he was not alone in his situation, we befriended him. And it just turned his life around, and we developed lasting relationships with all the different laborers that were on the projects. And this individual now he's attending services regularly, and he is actually part of the church council now, and he really did turn his life around.
Tell me about life for the Werners today, Carolyn. What is life like for the Werners now?
Well, we in the wintertime, we are snowbirds, but we wait to find out where the next project is, and we get so excited because you don't know what it's going to bring to you. It's just there's this excitement amongst us, and we just hardly can wait to get to the next project to see what it's going to bring and what the blessings that come from it. You just never know. And it's just, we have good family support. Our family congregation is very supportive of us. And everybody's asking, and they just are always in awe with the things that come across in our projects that we tell about. And it's such a wonderful experience.
When people ask, where do you live? What's your answer?
Wherever our RV is, that's our home. You know, wherever you park it, that's our home, because we live in the RV full time, and it's wonderful.
Dan, tell me about being full time RVers and laborers.
It is quite the experience. We have quite a few laborers that do exactly the same thing. We decided to go full time. We didn't want to leave our home empty for months at a time and leave that responsibility up to our children or whatever. So we decided to go full-time. It gives us an opportunity between projects to do traveling, to go out and see other sites. But it also gives us the flexibility that when a project is open, that we can make it in the shortest amount of time.
Now, I would think some might ask, how do you adapt to this lifestyle? How do you stay connected? How do you know about what's going on with Laborers for Christ? How do you hear about the next project? Where do you get your mail?
Actually, we have a mail forwarding service that will forward all our mail, regardless of where we're located. The internet is a wonderful thing. We have access to that, LCEF. Provides a lot of information on their website for the laborers to plan for different projects, upcoming projects. So it works out real well.
Marcy, this new lifestyle that the Werners have taken on, this this RV lifestyle, being geographically mobile, is this common among some laborers?
Yes, it is, but it's not predominant.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of laborers who still own homes. But I love the Werners because they're available whenever we need them. And there's such a blessing. And it really does, a lot of the laborers who are full-time RVers, they really do love to travel and meet new people. And Laborers for Christ offers that opportunity, which is really unique because you are working for the church or a ministry and improving it, and you get excited right along with them. I'm just thinking of a project in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They have been planning for a daycare preschool for 7 years, and this summer, this dream will become a reality for this congregation. So it's a lifestyle that really allows you to do a lot of celebrating with fellow believers and members of the Lutheran Church. And I think the laborers also offer a lot of opportunity to men in the church. We have had people become members, just as Dan was saying, because maybe they didn't feel a connectedness mm-hmm. in the church, and they needed that initial entry. And Laborers for Christ offers that because they're surrounded by all this group of men and women. Hey, how can you escape that? You know, you have to become involved, and before long, you meet somebody like Dan and Carolyn, and you're hooked. And even though they leave, they still remain connected to the congregation.
Would you say, Carolyn, would you say this is somewhat of, there's a sense of adventure to this?
Yes, there is. There is a big adventure, and you just never know what's going to happen at each project. I've had some really neat experiences at every single one, and some of them are still carried out yet today. The friendship of members that we've been met. And also when you go as snowbirds, we also go to other churches and be part of their congregation, not as a laborer, but we spread the word about being laborers, and it's amazing the response that you get and how the love and stuff you get from other churches.
So in addition to your involvement at the congregation where you're serving as laborers, from time to time you go out and visit other congregations and share with them about what Laborers for Christ is and the opportunities available.
Yes, we do. And that's a neat experience, too, because some places they just have not heard about Laborers for Christ, and they're so interested. And some will know people, and, oh, yes, in our old church that we used to go to, they had laborers come, and then you start talking about the things that go on, and it's just a neat ministry of how God's love just keeps growing in everybody's heart with through laborers.
Dan, how many projects have you been involved with Laborers for Christ?
We are currently in Gordonville, Missouri, and this is our sixth project, not including our home congregation.
Now, before you were involved with laborers, had you any experience doing some of the things that you do now with construction in Laborers for Christ?
I have had some experience. We have throughout the years, we've remodeled our different homes and things like that. And just prior to that, retiring, I have a younger brother that runs a fire and water restoration business, and I did help him out in that. So I did pick up a lot of the skills through that.
Carolyn, how about your involvement? Anything that prior to your involvement with Laborers for Christ that you bring to the table now that you think is really helpful in the work that you do with laborers?
Well, when I was growing up with the family I couldn't go to the ladies' groups, so now I can go to the ladies' meeting groups together and do things. I've helped with the VBS. I was a Sunday school teacher for 35 years, and I had to give that up, and that probably was the hardest thing for me to do, to leave my class that I had taught for 35 years. And now I go and I'll go and they'll help with VBS or help with some other kids group. And it's just been wonderful.
She's actually known as the VBS Queen and Children's Ministry.
It's just been wonderful. I have this thing for kids. Before I became a laborer, I used a home daycare into my home and took care of kids. So I'm so natural, feel natural with it. And I also work with the elderly. And so when we go to these different projects, it just fits right in with me because, you know, that's an area that needs ministry also.
Tell me, Carolyn, tell me about the project you're on right now at Zion Lutheran Church in Gordonville, Missouri.
We're just getting started, and there is absolutely no ladies' group, so the ladies are going to try to get something going so that we can do things and help out, because it's a very small congregation. We go to Bible studies and we do the devotions, and the ladies, we go out into community and we do different things. Some of the ladies are going to an exercise group area, and wherever you go, you to ask why you're here, because they know you're new, and just there you're spreading the word of God and how, your ministry and what you're doing. And so it's just a neat experience.
And Dan, what is the project you're involved with there at Zion in Gordonville, Missouri?
Okay, the congregation is actually, we did some demolition. We tore out some bathrooms, and we are putting on, the pastor has never had an office outside of his home. So we're putting on several offices, one for the secretary, one for the pastor, and we're putting in a new connector building between the church and the fellowship hall, along with some family restrooms and a lift to make it handicap accessible between the church and the fellowship hall.
What are, Dan, tell me a little bit about some of the other projects. You mentioned this is number six for you. Where and what were some of the other projects you've been involved with along the way?
Our first project was in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. Hope Congregation had purchased a small building, and we did some renovation in that building. They never had a building of their own, so we built a sanctuary in that building. That was our first project. We built a church in Manteno, Illinois, in 2013 with a complete new construction. And then after that, we put a sanctuary in Waterloo, Iowa. We put an addition that they've been waiting for over 20 years. We put that on. Last year, we were fortunate enough to be in Manning, Iowa, and we did a total renovation of their fellowship hall and their classrooms. And so, that brings us up to Gordonville.
And so now on project number six, what do you think? You got 10, 15 more projects in you?
We'll have to wait and see.
Oh, come on, Dan.
Yeah. Mark, you will make sure we keep busy. That's sure.
There's no shortage of projects. Well, I'm glad to hear, Dan and Carolyn, that your experience with laborers has been something that you've enjoyed, and it sounds like it's been rewarding, and that you certainly find some adventure in it as well. Thank you so much for taking time to share your story with us today.
Well, thank you, Andy. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Marcy, the Werners certainly have a valuable story, and this is just one example. I know we have another couple to share with our listeners here in just a little bit.
Yes, we do.
Anything else you'd like to share about the Werners before we go to break?
They are a couple that when I learned of them in Geneseo and how they have taken tragedy like the fire and they have just used it, and they have really used it for God's glory. The congregation that they worked at in Manteno actually had a tornado. And Dan was able to respond with such encouragement because he knew exactly how this congregation felt and he could identify with them. And they were just the perfect couple to be there just at the right time. They're wonderful encouragers. Plus, he's a very gifted leader as well. And Carolyn is just an awesome support to him.
We're talking with Marcy Scholl, Laborers for Christ Specialist at Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We have more laborer stories to share when we come back from break. Stick around. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Rebecca Gonsalves took a film photography class at her college in Florida. Her professor told her to do something she was passionate about, and since she's passionate against abortion, Rebecca told him she'd do something pro-life. The professor was less than thrilled, saying, "I won't give you a good grade if you do that." She responded, "This was discrimination," and the professor replied, "Call it what you want, but I'm warning you." So Rebecca did black and white photos of her holding pro-life signs and then went to a department head who assured her there would be no retribution. Many pro-life students face harassment or discrimination, but they must stand strong in the face of censorship. And there are pro-life legal firms to back them up if necessary. Don't be silent.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsors on this Thursday, June 9th, 2016. Today's day sponsors are Jim and June Schwengel, members of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in celebration of their 53rd wedding anniversary. And in thanks to the Lord for their increased love of KFUO music and programming that lifts them up spiritually. Once again, we say thank you to Jim and June Schwengel, members of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana. Today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsors.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and thousands of congregations across the country as they observe Refugee Sunday, a time to celebrate the gifts migrants and refugees bring to the United States. Pick a Sunday that works best for your congregation to celebrate. New resource kits, including bulletin insert and poster, will be available soon. Sign up for our newsletter at lirs.org/rebuildinghope.
Hi, I'm Grace Kane, a junior at Lutheran High School South in St. Louis. Every day, I can grow in my faith with Christian faculty and other young believers. Together, we grow in the challenging academic environment at Lutheran South. Thanks to my school, I'm ready to not just go to college, but excel in college and throughout the rest of my life. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhssstl.org. That's lhssstl.org.
God's grace is real, God's grace is unique, and that grace can change everything. This week on the Lutheran Hour, Pastor Gregory Seltz describes the life of freedom that follows faith in Christ. We'll also hear about an international mission trip that doesn't require a passport. Join us this week for The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are discussing laborers for Christ with Marcy Scholl from Lutheran Church Extension Fund. She's the specialist for laborers for Christ there at LCEF. And a good conversation today, sharing stories from real live laborers who have had just a lot of adventure, a lot of fun, and opportunities for witness and life together as they go out and serve in whatever the setting might be. A lot of them are construction, maybe some demo at the beginning. It was fun hearing from Dan and Carol and Werner and their stories, serving in six locations now. They're in their sixth project with laborers. Marcy, tell me a little bit about the process of becoming a laborer and the what one can expect when becoming a laborer, how to go through that process, what they can expect.
The best way is to probably get on the LCEF.org website. Mm-hmm. They can see what Laborers for Christ is about. They can view the list of projects that are available to them. And they can receive an application printed off and have their pastor and physician sign it. And they can become active. Once they send in their application, it can be electronically or by mail, then we process it and really try to assimilate them. That's what my job is to coordinate and assimilate workers for teams for congregations. And it's all across the United States. There are projects. As of right now, we have 17 agreements. We have 11 projects that are in construction right now. So there is definitely a need and an opportunity to get on a team.
To become a laborer for Christ, do you have to have experience in construction? Do you have to be, an expert in this area?
Not really. A lot of the people are handymen, handywomen. Some of them do come from a construction, they are construction professionals. This really gives them a refocus to do what they did in their first career and then take it into the second repositioning. Some of them are relative beginners. Some of them have trades like carpenters, electrician, plumbers. But it is really, I always say it's they do their first career so they can do what they really enjoy doing in their second.
After going through the application process, tell me about the approval and then assimilation. What can they expect from you and the LCEF staff?
Okay. We are there to assist, to answer any questions that they may have. Of course, we do try to get them on a project as soon as they are ready. Sometimes you don't have to be willing to get on a project. We do have laborers who sign up years ahead. And Rich, who you will be meeting, signed up several years before he actually became on a project because Arlene was still employed. But what he did was kept in touch, engaged on the website and by calling our office. We are there to help you, to get you assimilated, to get you connected to a project manager, because this project manager that will then tell you what you need. We do give each new laborer a guideline book, which hopefully answers all of their questions, but I'm always available to be of any assistance to them that I can. But the project manager will give them the more details that they need for the project that is forthcoming.
Do laborers serve as volunteers?
They are paid employees of the congregation. When the Laborers for Christ program came to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 1985, the task force at that time decided that it was best for the program that these workers would receive minimum wage and receive workers' compensation and general liability. So they do receive minimum wage. But the travel costs for them are far more than what they receive in minimum wage. So they really are willing servants.
Sure.
And they do.
This is a life of service.
Yeah. They volunteer in the aspect that they can pick where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
The list of projects are on the website, and then they choose where they would like to go.
Well, let's meet our laborers for this segment, the Wolfgangs, Rich and Arlene Wolfgang. Arlene, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
And Rich, welcome to Faith and Family. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having us on.
Tell us a little bit about, Arlene, tell us about where you live and how you first learned about Laborers for Christ.
Well, we live out in the country near a small town called McGrow, and our home church is in Wabash, Indiana, about 6 miles away from us. And all through the years when I would go to LWML conventions, they had a Laborers for Christ booth. And I was curious because, you know, they were, the guys had the suspenders on with the rulers, and it just looked intriguing. And so I would pick up their literature, and I'd take it home to my husband, and right away, he was interested in that. And then in 1999, we moved from our old historical building church to build a new church. And we called, Richard was the building committee chairman. And so right away, you know, we were interested in calling laborers to build our church.
Rich, why was it that that Arlene thought this would, Laborers for Christ would be something you would enjoy and be interested in?
Well, that's a good question, I guess. I grew up in a carpentry family. My dad was a carpenter, and my grandfather was a carpenter, and I helped my dad as a teenager and in my early 20s, so I have carpentry sprinkled through my life and my experience. And then when I started working full-time, people would want to build something, and I had tools and had knowledge and skills that they didn't have. And so they would provide some of the labor, and I would provide some of the knowledge and tools, and so I helped a number of my friends do various construction projects. And so this kind of, it all fit together. It piqued my interest and as a way to serve the Lord.
Tell me, Rich, about some of the projects you've been involved with Laborers for Christ.
Well, this will be our 11th project. My first one was in Knox in Indiana. That was in 2004. And after I finished that project, I was gone all week, and Arlene didn't think I should be gone so much. So I quit labor, kind of pulled back from labors, and my brother and I went into construction and then that. So I feel like the Lord has been preparing me for my whole life for serving Him this way. It's a special way to serve the Lord, and not everybody is capable of doing it. And He's blessed me not only with knowledge, but He's also blessed me with skills.
Arlene, tell me about what happens when you go to a project for the first time, when you first arrive at the project. What's the new site, the new location? What are some of the first few things you experience?
That's kind of funny because it's different from the woman's perspective than the men's. I personally push for getting the plumbing and the sewer and the electrical hookup as soon as possible because they have to pull in all the lines for the number of RVs that'll be there. And I'm always looking for the Chamber of Commerce to help us out as far as services that we'll need, like dentist, eye doctor, hospital, places to eat, sights to see, that kind of thing. That's from my perspective. And number one on our list is always a laundromat. So, you know, those are things I'm looking for. And I like to meet the women of the congregation and find out what they are doing, like crafts or just various activities, Bible studies that they'll be involved in, because we women laborers want to hook up with that.
Rich, what are some of the first things that you look for, that you experience when you first start a project?
Well, my perspective is a little bit different. it's nice to be able to come to a project where, you know, some prep work has been done and concrete and those kinds of things. It makes things a lot easier for us to get started. Sometimes there are delays because of weather and things of that nature, but like Arlene was talking about, one of the first things to get set up is a campsite. Not all congregations have the facility where we can camp on site. Some projects we have to actually travel, maybe a short distance, maybe a long distance. One of the projects that we worked on in St. Louis for the housing program, we were living 40 miles away, so we had a pretty good commute each day to come into work, and which can be a challenge by itself. It can also be a good opportunity for the laborers, because we carpool. We get to know each other even better than what we would working with each other.
How long, I'm sure each project varies, but how much time have you spent? What's the longest project? What's the shortest project that you've been involved in?
I think the shortest project was probably, I helped paint the LCEF offices, and I think that was, less than 2 weeks maybe. I don't remember the exact number of days. And I think probably the longest one is in the neighborhood of about six months or something of that nature.
6 months. So that's kind of long. What's a typical project been for you? Somewhere around 6 months or less?
Yeah, typically. And that's the biggest thing there is how large the program is or how large the project is. Some things are, we're in some cases dependent on the design, and so some designs are easier to work with than others.
Well, I guess I'm glad you mentioned painting at LCEF with Marcy retiring this year. Probably going to have to come back and paint over that bright pink office that you painted for her. Was it?
With decals on it.
Yeah.
But leave the LFC hard hat.
Okay.
How would I'm curious to hear from both Rich and Arlene on this, and I wish I would have asked our previous guests this too. We'll start with Arlene. How do you think being involved with Laborers for Christ and this geographically mobile lifestyle and the all the people you get to meet, how has this shaped your marriage from your perspective, Arlene?
Oh, what a question. Well, I think it has probably helped us, because when you move, for instance, when we went from Indiana to Washington State, we were too far away for family to just visit. It just draws you closer together because it's just the two of you in the evening here in this little RV. So I think it's been a benefit.
Rich, how would you say your experience with Laborers for Christ, how that has shaped your marriage?
I would like to hope that it has strengthened our marriage. It's drawn us closer together. It's helped us to communicate, I think, a little bit better, even though married couples always have struggles in communication. Sure. And various other things. And with us being as close proximity to each other, I can't just run off to the other room or go out to the barn like I would at home. So we kind of have to talk things through a little better and hopefully come to some resolution.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. See, Marcy, here's another thing we can add to encourage. It's great for your marriage, too.
Great for your marriage.
Laborers for Christ, great for your marriage. Exactly.
Close.
You're going to have to quote Rich and Arlene on that. So, yeah, the close proximity, living in your RV space. Now, a lot of laborers will live in an RV. Do all of them RV, or some of them find other living options?
No, not all of them live in RVs. Sometimes, if they do not have an RV, a congregation will provide housing. And that takes on several forms. Mm-hmm. Some congregations have rental properties. We've had one congregation that owned apartments there, and they also have members that open their homes. And that has really been a wonderful experience. I know Rich in Bloomington, Minnesota, you had a laborer that lived in a home. And I talked to him after that experience, and what a blessing it was to him.
Are you referring to Carl?
Yes.
Okay, he's on this project, too.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a very knowledgeable person. His background is in aeronautical engineering, and so the project manager at Bloomington utilized that knowledge because Bloomington was a rather difficult design. And the project manager was able to utilize his knowledge to help the construction move forward in a better manner.
Yeah. And Carl is staying with a congregation member here also.
Well, that's great to hear that the open arms and the welcoming nature of the congregations that are involved in Laborers for Christ projects and the sense of a community and life together that develops through these projects. What are some of the things that you've learned along the way, Arlene, about Laborers for Christ, or what are some of the things that perhaps you learned either about laborers, about yourself, or what has the experience been like for you through these projects that you've been involved with?
Well, I've learned that each day is different. You never know what the day is going to hold. It depends on what is going on that day at the church or what's going on at the build site. Sometimes the women have to run errands for the guys. It just depends. Every day is so different. And some people say, gosh, what do you do all day? Don't you get bored? And at the end of the day, I think, how could I be bored?
I'm
so
tired.
Much going on.
Not bored. I'm tired from all the work I did.
No.
Rich, how about you? What have you learned or gained through your involvement with Laborers for Christ?
Well, it's like any job you have, you need to look at it with an open mind, and you should always be learning something new. And even though I have done construction in various forms for a number of years, I continually look for new methods. Each laborer comes to the project with different experiences, and I listen to their method of doing something, and sometimes it's better than what I've been doing. So by working with each other and telling stories about how we've done various things, you learn, you continue to learn. God helps us to helps each other, helps us through each other to grow, to become better.
Well, I'm glad that it's been a good experience for both of you, and that it's been beneficial not only to you as a couple, but also to the congregations where you've been serving. I think I forgot to ask when we first started the conversation today, where are you currently working?
We are working in McCungie, Pennsylvania.
Tell me a little bit about the project there.
The project here is, I think, in the neighborhood of 11 or 12,000 square feet. They're adding on to their church office. It's an office area, some meeting rooms, and also some classrooms. They're actually combining two projects together, or two phases together. This particular project has been challenging to me from the standpoint of it's using metal studs. And I've never used metal studs. It's always been wood. I'm a carpenter. I don't mess with metal. but that fits in. Metal studs is a form of carpentry. And so I've had to pick up some new techniques in that process.
See, you're still learning something new. That's yes. Great. How many folks can say that? Both of you have said that in this hour, that you're learning something new. Rich and Arlene, it has been a pleasure to talk with you today. Thanks for being our guests and sharing your stories of your involvement with Laborers for Christ.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling us and willing to listen.
Absolutely. God's blessings on your service as you continue to serve with Laborers. Marcy, this is just an outstanding opportunity, especially for those who are blessed with the gift of time and being geographically mobile, able to hit the road and go somewhere for 6 months, 3 months, whatever it might be, whatever the project might be, to choose the projects that they're going to be involved in.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, one of the things that I hear about laborers all the time is they just want to give back. And I think that's what you heard in Rich and Arlene today, Dan and Carolyn. Christ has done all for us, and we are just giving back to help congregation and churches. And I really would encourage people to consider making a difference in ministry. That's really what this is about. Laborers for Christ is a ministry, and God can use them to touch lives.
To find out more, the website lcef.org, you can find information on Laborers for Christ there. Phone number?
1-800-843-5233. And I'm also encouraging people to sign up for the electronic monthly newsletter, the Plumline E-News. This is the heartbeat for all laborers. You don't have to be active. You can just be interested, but it keeps us connected, engaged, and encouraged in projects and people and ministry.
Marcy, I know that your time at LCEF is winding down to approaching retirement, so thanks so much for sharing this story with us today. Congratulations on your retirement. Thanks for being our guest today and sharing
Thank
about
you.
Laborers. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org.
Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.